Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
Far be it for me to criticize anything that you might do.
Really?
We have Mark,
oh, and good morning.
We have Mark Carman in filling in for sports today.
Yes, we do.
And you didn't even say, here's Mark Carman.
Well, normally we just go into, you know, the...
He's filling in today.
Okay, get him, right. Dean. Get him.
All right. I will have a fanfare
prepared.
We have
a special guest sportscaster today.
I will have a fanfare prepared.
We don't have the same old Andy Mazur. We have Mark Carman filling in today. It's a big deal.
All right. I will have something prepared for
the
10 o'clock hour.
You know, the average
listener.
Mark was
here yesterday, too.
Well, that was yesterday. Today's today.
Dean, I got to tell you.
Oh, so it doesn't matter unless you're on then. Huh?
That's exactly correct. It's about time you finally figured that out after all these years. What'd you say?
I just wanted to let you know, Dean, I don't mean to talk out of turn here, but Dave's ego this weekend's been way out of control.
Yeah, of course. Welcome to my world for the last 40 years.
And the guy's been kind of insufferable in here. He's driving Burrow nuts.
Wow.
No, we love Dave. I'm kidding. It's been a blast.
What have I done? What have I done to you?
Nothing. You've been great.
I know is I'm going to sit back and enjoy this morning, apparently.
Wow.
Joni Mitchell, who we almost lost last year to an aneurysm, recovered. And she's been doing some concerts, and she's going to perform for the first time ever on the Grammy Awards, my favorite award show of the year, tonight. Starts at 7 o'clock on CBS.
Glad to hear that. Yeah. That song's got to go back almost 50 years now.
You know what I think of when I hear this song? Bob Surratt.
Because you first heard Bob play it?
He was a subversive FM DJ back then. Yeah, this is Bob Surratt. I used Joni Mitchell, Free Man in Paris. And, you know, all the AM stations that we were listening to, nobody played album tracks.
Very seldom.
But that subversive
Very
Bob Surratt
seldom,
did.
If ever. You know, yeah.
That hippie DJ Bob Surratt did. I don't know why when I hear that song, I think of Bob Surratt. I don't know why.
Well, it was Bob from that era.
It was. The
early 70s or
I
so.
I want to say 74.
74.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
I don't know. I like Joni Mitchell, though, and I'm looking for, I hope it's an inspiring, moving performance.
Yeah. I hope so, too.
Yeah.
Because she's been at it for many years, and like you said, we almost lost her. Yep. And so that's great.
Carm, do you even know who Joni Mitchell is?
Well, Dean, I am learning.
I'm going to take that as a no.
I'm learning by the minute here. I see that she's 80.
Look at you going to the Google.
Wow. Yeah. I'm on the Pedia right here. I know the name, but I think you probably know a little bit more about Joni than me, Dean.
Well, Shawnee and I, you know, grew up. Shawnee, of course, more than me. I was listening to Bob Surratt back then, which I like to remind him of.
So was I.
I like to remind him that I grew up listening to you. It's a nice thing to say to somebody that they've been listening for a long time, but for a minute when somebody says that to you, it's like, hey, you want some Sominix, Grandpa?
I didn't know the Surratt DJ days either until now.
Is that right?
Really?
Wow. Because he was always a TV guy to me. You know?
Oh, that's right. No. There were DJ days way before television.
No, I'm seeing 73 to
way
79.
Before television.
Yeah, he was a big deal on FM. He was one of the first DJs, like, you know, popular DJs on FM. Him and Steve King, too, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Steve King on the same station.
Steve also worked for...
Yeah, this is Steve King on
BBM
FM.
Steve worked for an Indianapolis radio station also that I listened to all the time when I was in college, WNAP.
I want to say that when Steve came to Chicago, though, he was on Mellow Rock, BBM FM.
BBM FM. Was it mellow rock or light rock? What did they call it?
I think it was mellow.
Mellow? Okay.
I was on light rock.
You were on light rock.
I was on WCLR. Chicago's light rock.
Were you on there, too?
Yeah.
Well, I knew FYR. And
I've been around, Shawnee.
Yeah, I know you have.
I've been around the block.
I know you have.
I've been up and down the dial a few times.
Oh, I know you have, yeah.
Some more successful than others.
Well, that's true for many of us here. But.
So anyway, I'm looking forward to Joni Mitchell on the Grammys tonight. Billy Joel's going to perform.
I saw that.
On the Grammys tonight.
I saw that.
Please tell me you know who Billy Joel is.
I've heard of Billy Joel. Oh. Thank you very much.
That I may have to hurt myself if you go out. Uncle Dean, who's Billy Joel?
Billy Joel, wow.
What?
He's playing with Stevie Nicks at Soldier Field?
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
That's going to be a big concert. You know what else I'm looking forward to on the Grammys tonight? Luke Combs, the country singer, who had a big hit song this last year with the old Tracy Chapman song, Fast Cars. He's going to perform that song with Tracy Chapman tonight.
That's awesome.
I think that's super cool. The Dua Lipa is going to perform tonight. Do you even know who she is, Ronnie?
No.
I can swing the conversation both ways, I mean, to either you or Carmen.
This is amazing. The Dean level of knowledge is just flowing right now.
It really is.
Olivia Rodrigo? Anybody?
Nope.
She is a very popular.
We're really helping you out here.
She's a very, very popular 20-year-old singer. You might know one of her songs. Maybe I'll play a little one of her songs later on. I'm looking forward to this is my favorite award show because it's all performances.
More than the Academy Awards?
Definitely. Then. Definitely.
Huh. Okay.
Because it's mostly performances.
Well, it is performances.
They're going to give out the awards. There is a performer by the name of SZA.
Oh, yeah.
I had to learn that one yesterday.
S-Z-A.
I had to learn that one.
The first time I said that, I did a story about SZA on TV. And I don't know what I think I said SZA because that's how it's spelled.
That's what I would have said.
SZA.
I'm glad I asked yesterday.
So one of the snot-nosed 20-year-old floor directors, Dean, it's pronounced SZA.
Was this the one who didn't know who Jackie Gleason was?
No, that's a different. That was a different snot-nosed 20-year-old. But you get the idea, though. It's the generation gap. How would I know that SZA is pronounced SZA?
I wouldn't have known. Like I said, I had to ask yesterday.
Yeah.
Somehow, we were doing a story on it.
Somehow Ryan Burrow knew. I couldn't believe it.
Well, he's a hipster.
He is. Yeah, he knew.
He said it with such confidence, too. It's SZA.
SZA. Yeah, it's okay. SZA.
SZA. She's got the most nominations tonight. I say as if I'm an expert. You know, I can fake enthusiasm with the best of them. If I've learned anything in this business, it's faking enthusiasm.
Yep, I know. I hear it every Sunday.
So you did not speak the untruth, my friend. She's got the most nominations with 9. Taylor Swift, I think, has 6 nominations. Taylor Swift could break a record tonight. If she wins Album of the Year tonight, she will break Frank Sinatra's record for most albums of the year.
Now, she's been in the news.
You know who Frank Sinatra is?
Oh, yeah. Hello.
Just checking.
Yes. Okay. But wasn't she, you know, she can't play her music on this service, Hickory Dickory Dock or something like that? What is it?
Well, she can. It's been pulled. It's been pulled.
From TikTok.
From, yeah.
This is what we do, Mark. I just throw stuff at him like this.
I've heard and I know.
What's TikTok, Uncle Dean? Yeah, no, her music and lots of music of many other artists.
TikTok have
been removed from some of the streaming services for licensing reasons.
See, until, I know this. I
until
know
they
these
can
things.
Figure out, you're a very hep
I
cat.
I know these things.
You are a super hep cat.
I told you.
I don't question that at all. but she is, I'm told, is going to be at the award ceremony, but is not going to perform at the award ceremony.
Come on.
Because she's probably resting up. She's probably resting up. Because she's going to be, isn't she playing in the Super Bowl next week?
Super Bowl. I thought, was it Usher?
I mean, the big game.
Usher?
Are we allowed to say?
No, Usher and SZA?
Usher, no. It's not scissor, like what you cut paper with. It's not like rock, paper, scissors. It's SZA, right?
It most definitely is.
It's SZA.
I didn't mean to. But, I apologize.
Scissors.
The SZA family.
Grandpa Scissors is very offended right now. No, Usher is doing the halftime show next week.
But there was talk that she was going to be...
Because she's obviously going to be at the Super Bowl because of her boyfriend.
That's right.
But she's not doing any performing
the
Super Bowl.
Okay, yeah, no.
She's just going to be there and be up in one of the boxes, you know, yelling like she always does.
Well, she'll be up there waving to everybody.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she should. She's very excited.
Mm-hmm.
You know who else is nominated for a lot of awards? And I'll bet you know this guy, Schwani, John Baptiste.
Oh, yeah.
Who used to be the musical director on Stephen Colbert.
Yep.
He
can do anything.
He can do anything. He's a musical genius. There's an amazing documentary that's out about his wife's battle with cancer, which she apparently has is in remission now.
Lou was talking about that yesterday.
Yeah. He's up for 7 Grammy Awards tonight, and he actually may win Album of the Year. He did last year, didn't he?
I think so.
Maybe he did.
Yeah. No. You talk about multi-talented and brilliant.
Yep.
He is.
He is.
Yeah.
He is that. So for those of you say I don't know today's music, I'll bet you do know today's music. You just don't know some of the artists, not like we do, because we're fake experts.
You know, the next
maybe you're not as accomplished at faking the enthusiasm as I am, but
that's because I want to be credible.
You news people, you news people, and such sticklers for the truth.
I believed every ounce of your enthusiasm, Dean, for the record.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah,
I've gotten good at it. sad to hear the news about Carl Weathers passing away.
Yeah.
Apollo Creed from the Rocky movies.
Straight legend.
Completely. He was on our TV morning show a couple of years ago, something. Super, super nice guy. Oh, first time I ever met him. Could not have been a nicer man. We're going to play that interview for you a little bit later on. We've got conversations today with Common. Schwani, you know Common,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Rapper,
yep.
Performer. He is. He has an Oscar. He has Grammys. He has Emmy Awards. He's performing on Broadway because he wants to be an EGOT. He wants to win a Tony Award, too. But we had a fantastic conversation with our old friend. We'll share that with you coming up later on. We're going to dig into... This is one of my favorite things we do on Grammy Sunday, is dig back into the history of the Grammy Awards. And we'll do that throughout the morning as well. This is when a song was a song right here. The ever-popular theme song to the award-winning Far-Flung Forecast. Heard every Sunday at this time to disseminate facts and fascinating information each week. Presented by musicologist himself, Dave Schwani.
Well, thank you very much, Uncle Dean, and good morning, everyone. Please get out your compasses and protractors and newfangled GPS devices, because today we go down south. We go south to Tuskegee, Alabama.
Oh.
Tuskegee, Alabama is in the southeast sector of Alabama and is very important in terms of African American history. It was it's the headquarters for the Tuskegee Institute, a very historic African American college, but it is also the birthplace of one Rosa Parks, who was born on this date in Tuskegee, Alabama. And, of course, in December of 1955, she was the person in Montgomery, Alabama, who refused to give up her seat on a bus, thus starting the Montgomery bus boycott, which went on for over a year until finally the segregated transit system had to just, they ended up changing the rules and allowed everybody to sit where they were pleasing. But
that, she was from Tuskegee.
From Tuskegee, Alabama, born there on this date.
We think of the Tuskegee Airmen.
Yes.
You know, it's notable when you think Tuskegee. That was the first thing that came to my mind. But I never knew Rosa Parks was from there.
Born and born there and then raised somewhat in another part of the state, yeah. But moved to Montgomery and where she met her husband and then stayed in Montgomery, later living in the Detroit area in her later years. Mm-hmm. But when she passed away, she was the first female American, not an elected official, to lie in state in honor at the Capitol Rotunda. Right. What a life.
Isn't that amazing that there was a time in the United States of America where a person couldn't sit where they wanted to sit on a bus?
Yes. Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
And, you know, I heard stories about people who were scared to death that, you know, even if they looked the wrong way in a bus, that, you know, they were really kind of taking their life into their own hands. But that was just such a fantastic act of bravery and, you know, was really the start of what we saw all through the 60s and 70s.
Really kind of the start of the Civil War. Yeah, I was going to say, really kind of kicked things off where people said enough is enough.
It is also a great way to begin African American History Month here on WGN. We've got a series of reports all month here from the newsroom. And Tuskegee, Alabama, today, rainy, 43 degrees today.
It is time to talk some medical news. We welcome back to the program this week Dr. Jeremy Silver, who is the medical director of emergency medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital in DeKalb. Dr. Silver, welcome back. Very nice to have you back on the show with us this week.
Good to be back, Dean. Thanks for having me.
We had such a nice reaction to you being on with us last week. So many people called in, texted, emailed how much they enjoyed your visit on the show. So we're happy that you could join us again. And we wanted to focus this week a little bit on heart health. February is National Heart Month. Is heart disease still the number one killer in America?
It is. It's the leading cause of death for men, women, adults, of course, and most people of most racial and ethnic groups in the U.S. Every 33 seconds, someone dies from cardiovascular disease or heart disease. And every year, somewhere around 700,000 people die from heart disease. That's like the population of Boston just erasing from the map. So it's a significant issue. And it's also a significant financial cost is associated with this hundreds of billions of dollars every year dedicated to the cost of the illness. So it's a lot of opportunity here to make a difference and something that's pretty important.
Are men more susceptible to heart disease than women?
Men and women are equally susceptible. I think, you know, in the prior iteration of medicine, let's say in the 20th century, classically we thought that men were kind of special in this regard. But we're learning more and more about women. We actually miss. Unfortunately, we miss a significant amount of illness in women because of that kind of inherent bias. But I'm not aware of evidence to suggest that men are more susceptible. There's certain different risk factors for different groups. And so I think it's important that we all stay apprised of the knowledge and education that's out there, and that people understand that it can happen to any of us.
Yeah. So everybody listen up while we talk about this a little bit. You talked about the risk factors. What are the biggest risk factors for men and women?
Well, I think, you know, none of us can escape our genes. So my father, who's was a former emergency medicine physician, used to say you can never escape the genetic vortex. And so I kind of laugh about that, but it's very true. So I think genes play an incredibly important role. But so does lifestyle. And so things like smoking, and as we're learning more about alcohol, that could play a significant role. But also diet is hugely important. And then other diseases of the cardiovascular system, such as high blood pressure, diabetes, kidney disease, all of these medical problems kind of play into heart health. They're all tied together because the heart is tied to all of those organs through the vascular system or through the arteries. So there's a variety of modifiable risk factors, and then there are some areas that it's harder to have an impact on in terms of your genetics.
Yeah, they're just that's what you're born with. So you know take care of what you can take care of. You know, the genetics, you deal with as best that you can. So where do we start with this? I mean, is diet, you think, the biggest impact on this, people being overweight?
Well, certainly having obesity raises the risk for disease of the heart. And being sedentary is actually significantly important, and may actually in the long run be more important than having a few extra pounds. But simply sitting at your desk, we know that folks that sit for a living have a higher risk. So if you sit at your desk all day long versus somebody who's active, say somebody who's walking around for their job, you're automatically at a higher risk for this disease. So absolutely lifestyle plays a huge part. Diet is also a very important piece of this. And so diets that are heavy in saturated fats, certainly we know that red meat, when eaten in excess, raises the risk of heart disease. Processed foods, so foods that fast food, for instance, or food that you microwave out of a box that you get frozen in the supermarket aisle, those foods tend to raise inflammation in the body and tend to increase the risk of disease to the arteries of the body and the heart. So we try to emphasize the importance of cooking your own meals, eating a diet that's rich in fruit, vegetables, and nuts. And if you're going to eat meat, which is perfectly fine, try to make most of the meat you eat lean meat, white meat like poultry or pork or certainly fish.
Okay. Now, you talk about a sedentary lifestyle and trying to be active. Do you buy into the you must, do X number of steps per day? That seems to be super popular where people's phones or their watches or, you know, some kind of pedometer is measuring the number of steps people take per day. Is that a good way of measuring how active you should be, or do you like something else?
I think it's great to quantify and set goals. And if having a pedometer or a smartwatch or device to kind of help you keep track of that, it helps get you out of the house or up and around, then I think that's wonderful. I don't know that the data is points to any one particular number, you know, number of steps or number of minutes per day or amount of output. I just think it, in general, my reading of the literature is the more you can be active, and certainly walking every day is a great accessible means of being active. Everybody can walk if you're able to use your legs, and that's a great place to start. So I don't tell my patients any particular number. I just try to encourage more is better.
About how much physical activity per day, and I'm talking about just, you know, walking. Is the point to raise the heartbeat level to a certain point? I mean, is that what you're trying to accomplish with the increased physical activity?
Sure. So aerobic activity where your heart rate is increased and you're moving those oxygen molecules around the body, we know that improves heart health. I think if we started with a number of 30 minutes per day, that's probably a good place to start at. But even 15 or 20 minutes of activity where your heart rate is increased and maybe you're starting to get little beads of sweat on your forehead, maybe your respiratory rate is up a little bit. Even just 15 minutes of aerobic activity is found to be effective. So, you know, 30 minutes of walking or 15 minutes of aerobic activity, I think is reasonable.
Yeah, you know, that's what my doctor has told me. I told my doctor, excuse me, you know, I'm busy. I don't have time. And, you know, the doctor said to me is you have to find 15 to 30 minutes, just to do it. You don't have 15 minutes in a day to go and do this someplace. Ultimately has said you can't afford to not do this. You know, you are at that age where you really need to do it. So it's something that I think a lot of us need to take a lot more seriously.
I agree with you, Dean, and I agree with your position. I think in the medical field, we like to think about this as an investment in your future. So the same way that you put money in the stock market and watch it grow over time, and the stock market goes up and down, and so do our exercise patterns. In around the holidays, we tend to be spending time with family and maybe pushing the sweets and things of that nature. And then January rolls around and we recommit ourselves. And that variation is totally normal. It's part of the human experience. But overall, making a commitment to invest in yourself is going to pay dividends, whether it's quickly jumping on the exercise bike for 5 minutes, or doing some yoga, or grabbing a neighbor or your partner and taking a walk, whatever that means to you, anything is better than nothing.
Yep, that's exactly. You may as well have taken the words right out of my physician's mouth. I think all you people must talk to each other.
We called each other before I called in today, Dean.
Yes, yes, apparently. Apparently, I'm feeling very guilty right now. What about all these weight loss medicines that are out there now, these injectables that people are taking, the Ozempics and Mounjaros, and I forget the name of them all, seems to be doing a fairly good job with weight loss. Are you a fan of those?
Well, I think you have to be careful about jumping on the bandwagon with new medicine. I will say that the data out of the trials that led to these drugs kind of coming into popular culture looks really, really good, particularly for people with diabetes. These drugs are going to be life-saving for that segment of the population. I don't think there's any question about that. But when it comes to folks that are using the drugs simply for weight loss, I'm not sure that the jury's out yet on what the potential other side effects may be. So there's very obvious physical changes, and some of those are quite pleasing to folks. You lose kind of that double chin that you're trying to get rid of, or maybe a little bit of girth around the waist. And that feels good when you look in the mirror and you see a healthier looking person looking back at you. There's nothing wrong with feeling good about that. But these drugs do carry with them some side effects, and a lot of GI side effects, meaning the side effects of the gut, so the cramping, abdominal pain, gas, et cetera. But I also think, you know, down the line, 5-10 years from now, we'll have a better sense of kind of what the overall impact is going to be. So I would just say, you know, I think cautiously optimistic, but also tincture of time will tell us more.
Yeah. What about I want to open up the phone line and the text line for Dr. Jeremy Silver. If you have questions, if you have comments, 312-981-7200. To get some of your medical questions answered. But I wanted to talk a little bit more, go back to American Heart Month, and talk about some of the testing that people have available to them to see what shape their heart is in right now. I've always, you know, heard about stress tests and you get on the treadmill and you're all wired up and, you know, you go through all of that stuff. I've done that several times. Is that still the best and greatest way of measuring your heart health?
Sure. I think just to take a step back, Dean, and say, you know, just to remind folks that the heart is the pump that pumps blood around the body, and that blood, the whole reason for being of blood is that it carries oxygen that you breathe into all the organs in your body and helps them function. And so when that pump becomes dysfunctional, then your oxygen delivery becomes dysfunctional and all of your organs can suffer. So it's absolutely critical to whole body health and longevity that the heart is able to function. And so there's a variety of ways of looking at that function, one of which is certainly symptoms. So if you're doing your daily jog and you're having chest pain, that would be a red flag that you need to go and get looked at. And so I would start with the most basic of tests, and how do you feel? On the other hand, if you get on your bike and you go for a 40-mile bike ride and come home and feel great, that's a great stress test right there. So I think starting with the most basic of things is how do you feel when you're active? And if you're feeling lousy when you're active, then please see your provider, your physician or nurse practitioner. In terms of the tests that we can provide, there's a variety of different tests. As you mentioned, the walking treadmill test. For folks that can't do that, maybe they have bad knees or hips or for some other reason are able to tolerate that, there's nuclear imaging that we do where the person can sit and a drug is injected into the bloodstream that mimics activity and gets the heart rate pumping, and then pictures are taken of the heart and you can see if areas of the heart aren't functioning normally in that regard. There's a variety of other tests that are now available. There's something called a coronary calcium score, which is a CT scan. So the heart is essentially, you take pictures of the heart and look at the coronary arteries and measure, radiologists measure the calcium deposits, and they can sort of generate a risk score based on that. And certainly other tests such as cardiac MRI are available for certain types of conditions. So there's truly a wide array of tests, different tests for different folks, depending on what the cardiologist thinks would be most appropriate.
708 area code says my family is loaded with a history of heart bypasses and widow makers. How hereditary is heart disease?
Extremely. I'm glad that person reached out. My first response would be that I hope that you have a primary care physician that you've spoken about this with. And if you don't have one, I would encourage you to reach out and try and identify one if you have health insurance or your health insurance plan. But it is hereditary. And when you hear that, that perks my ears up as an ER doctor. If that person came in to see me in the emergency room, I'd immediately ratchet up their risk in the back of my mind to a much higher level. That being said, that's only one part of the picture, so you have to gather more data. But it definitely plays a huge, huge role.
In talking about the widowmaker, are those, I guess you might say, congenital conditions of the heart that you were talking about before, things which are you're just born with, you know, a certain condition of the heart, and maybe the history of your family's heart health. Those are things that are, you know, just are the way that they are, and you just have to kind of keep an eye on them. These conditions where you could have a heart attack that would kill you instantly.
Yeah, so the widow maker or the widower maker is they're referring to a heart attack that is lethal, where the main artery of the heart is fills with plaque, becomes inflamed, plaque would be kind of fatty deposits, cholesterol deposits building up and becoming hardened, and over time blocking the flow of blood and leading to a what we call a heart attack, that being the death of heart muscle due to lack of blood flow to that area. That left anterior descending artery, or the quote-unquote widowmaker artery, that supplies significant flow of blood to that chamber of the heart that does a majority of the pumping, the left ventricle. That's the part of the heart, the part of the heart muscle that pumps out blood to the rest of the body. So certainly that's a concerning history and something we all want to avoid. That being said, there are lots of new drugs available and advances in drug manufacturing that are coming out every day, it seems, that are going to help those folks reduce their risk. So it's not the end of the world. It's certainly not a guaranteed outcome, that being the widowmaker. But I think I would want to pursue those therapies if that were my family.
Yeah, 630 area code writes on a text, I sometimes feel like my heart is skipping a beat, and at other times the beat of my heart goes very, very quickly. Is this dangerous?
It certainly can be. That would fall into the category of a problem with the electrical system of the heart. So as we mentioned before, the heart's a pump, and the heart is a four-chambered muscle, essentially. It's a highly specialized muscle, unlike any other in the body, and it's susceptible to hormones and can actually remodel itself under certain conditions, so it's quite a unique structure. But it also has an electrical system that enables the heart muscle cells to contract in synchronicity. It's really a miracle of the human body. And so sometimes that electrical system either can become damaged over time as we age, or there are certain anomalies genetically that predispose certain folks to, as this person mentioned, skip beats or extra beats or fast beats. And many of those, what we call arrhythmias, meaning an abnormal rhythm of the heart, are totally benign. They're not harmful. They just they're annoying and disconcerting. It doesn't feel good to have that normal rhythm disrupted. But what I will say is that can't be diagnosed over the phone, unfortunately. I would strongly encourage that individual to see their doctor if they felt it was important to get a referral to a cardiologist. And certainly, if it becomes a problem, we're happy to see that individual in the emergency room.
Of course. Is this a condition under which someone might be a candidate for a pacemaker to regulate the beat of their heart?
Sure. Good question. So these arrhythmias, again, the rhythm of the heart is typically a lub-dub, 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 a very stable, consistent, steady rhythm. But for some folks, that becomes disrupted. It can become irregular, or it can become too fast, or it can be too slow, or sometimes both fast and then slow. So there's a variety of permutations. It's not just kind of one condition, but many. And so if there is a problem with the heart beating too slow, then yes, pacemaker can absolutely fix that. And sometimes in folks where the rhythm becomes too fast or too irregular, cardiologists will actually go in and zap that area that's the culprit, and then just completely make the person pacemaker dependent, and that fixes the problem. So there's a lot of different solutions depending on what the issue may be for that individual.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, the technology is absolutely amazing. At age 94, my mom had a heart valve replacement. And if anyone prior to that would have told me that heart valve surgery on a 94-year-old woman would have been appropriate, I would have said that they're nuts. But it was amazing. It was amazing how it corrected so many of the problems that she had. So bottom line is, check with your own physicians on this. This is a good month to do it, National Heart Month. Dr. Jeremy Silver, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show. today, the medical director of emergency medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital in DeKalb. Doctor, I hope you have a great Sunday today. Thank you so much. This is the first Grammy award-winning song of all time.
Oh, it was the first Grammy winner?
It was the first
pop song?
First song to win honors for Record of the Year. In 1958.
Oh, wow. Even earlier than I thought.
Yeah.
58.
1958. First Grammy award-winning song. Some of the other first Grammy award-winning records of the year included Bobby Darin's Mac the Knife.
Mm-hmm.
Percy Faith.
Summer Place.
Theme from a Summer Place.
Yeah.
You don't find too many people with the first name of Percy anymore.
No. He was a big arranger for Columbia Records in the 50s, yeah. You know, when Capitol Records had Billy May doing things for Frank Sinatra. And oh, boy, what an era.
That was the Record of the Year.
Theme from a Summer Place?
Theme from a Summer Place in 1960. And the Song of the Year was Theme from Exodus.
From the movie, yeah.
Yeah. Those were the two biggest songs, the Grammys at least, for 1960. You know what the album of the year was that year? The Button-Down Mind
of Bob Newhart?
Bob Newhart, who also won a Grammy Award for Best New Artist.
How about that?
How about that?
That's amazing.
How about that?
That's amazing.
Henry Mancini won for Moon River. Tony Bennett won for I Left My Heart in San Francisco. Hank Mancini, as I like to call him, Days of Wine and Roses. 1963, The Girl from Ipanema, Stan Getz and Astrud Gilberto, who just passed away fairly recently, right?
Yeah, not long ago, yeah.
Girl from Ipanema out of nowhere. I love this. Keep going.
It's a great song.
Yeah.
Do you know that song?
I do.
Come on, Chwani. Tall and tan and young and lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking, and when she passes, where she passes goes.
For anybody who was wondering at home, yes, Dave Schwann was standing and dancing as singing. That was amazing.
And who was the saxophone player in that recording?
Mr. Stan Getz.
Yes, sir.
The legend, Mr. Stan Getz. Song of the year that year, 1964. And by the way, that was the year that the Beatles won Best New Artist.
And guess what anniversary is right around the corner?
Ed Sullivan is like February 11th
the
or
60th
something.
Anniversary.
Wow.
You didn't know that?
I knew it was February something, 1964.
I thought you would have had that embedded.
Because that would have been the anniversary of when I got my Beatles wig from Woolworths for $1.
For $1.
And stood in front of our giant mirror lip-syncing, I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Now I have got to see a picture of this.
Fortunately, we did not take pictures.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, my parents stopped taking pictures with my first three brothers. When I was born, they stopped. They stopped taking pictures of me.
That's enough.
Yeah, that's enough pictures of kids. What else did I want to mention here? Yeah, Frank Sinatra won for Strangers in the Night.
That was later. Mid-60s,
66.
Yeah,
that was 66. But yeah, those were the first
Strangers in the Night.
Exchanging
glances.
Carm doesn't know that you and I are going to put an album.
We have a duet going on here.
No, I got it. And this is, I'm just really enjoying the show, to be honest with you.
I'm
sure to do something, but this is just too good to.
If you would like to make a guest appearance on our album, more than happy to have you on.
A trio.
Hey.
Why not?
I like singing. Let's go. I'll sing Strangers in the Night all day.
Doobie doobie doo.
Do 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 do. Do 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 do. It turned out so right for Strangers in the Night.
Did you know that it was originally an instrumental theme from the soundtrack of the film A Man Could Be Killed?
Wow.
Did you know that?
That doesn't sound at all like you're reading from Google.
Right off the top of my head, Dean.
You are quite the musicologist.
Yeah.
Andy Mazur would have never come up with that. He's too busy kissing up to Hamp and OB every week.
Yeah. Sinatra arrived at 8 p.m. for the recording, Dean. You probably didn't know that. It was done by 9.
Capitol Records in Hollywood?
That's sure, I think.
Yes.
Potentially.
Yeah, look that up. Check that in your Google and smoke it.
Well, by that time, he had his own label.
It was his first number one on the Hot 100 in 11 years.
Well, you know, he has 4 Album of the Year Grammys. Mr. Frank Sinatra. If Taylor Swift wins Album of the Year tonight, which is possible, she will tie Frank Sinatra's record.
I thought she was in line to be the all-time winner. Not yet.
I thought I read that she was going to tie. I could be wrong about that.
Okay.
I sort of checked out of the Taylor Swift hype machine a few weeks ago.
Did you see the movie? The Eras Tour movie?
I saw it twice.
You saw it twice?
Yeah.
Okay.
Take that, Swifty. Swifty McSwiftington. Saw that twice, and I saw the Barbie movie twice.
I know you saw Barbie twice.
That's the kind of man I am. That's how much of a man I am. I went to see these movies twice.
What did Barbie get on the Dean's List?
I did not give it too high of a rating.
Oh, you didn't?
I didn't care for the Barbie movie. So I went back and saw it again, thinking, what did I miss? There must be something that I missed here. Maybe I was in a bad mood. Maybe I was tired. So I went back and gave it another try. Turns out I was 100% right the first time.
Thank you.
Was your mood any better after you saw it twice then?
No.
Of course not.
No, I just confirmed it's just not my... You know, for a lot of people, they love it. It's great. I'm glad people love it. It's just not my cup of tea.
I didn't see it.
If you're a kid, I get it. If you're an adult, I don't.
No. I know plenty of adults that went, though, you know.
And liked it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's the female empowerment aspect of it.
That's the best part of
it. I think that's what people... Did you see it?
I did.
Yeah.
At least, I mean, well, I should say...
You went to see it?
No. I saw it at home, and I made it through, three quarters.
You saw it at home and made it through three quarters.
It wasn't for me.
So you're not a Barbenheimer. Did you see Oppenheimer?
No.
You did not.
But I want to.
Yes.
That one
definitely
I really
got
to
see that now.
Yeah, that's, you know, some movies are, you know, everybody doesn't have to like everything.
Exactly.
There's a little something for everyone out there. As the great Roy Leonard used to say, it's why Baskin-Robbins makes 31 flavors. There's a little something for everyone.
Very true.
Yeah. Yep. So, so there's a little bit of Grammy history for you today. Coming up in just a minute, our visit with Carl Weathers, who passed away the other day at just the age of 76, an amazing actor. He visited with us on WGN TV Morning News. Carl Weathers was just so spectacular in those movies, coming into the ring to James Brown's Living in America with Showgirls and... you know, just that Uncle Sam bicentennial get-up that he wore, because I think the first film came out, right, in 1976, something like that. Anyway, we lost Carl Weathers this week. They did not release the cause of death, but we do know he was 76 years old, that he died at home surrounded by family, and I only interviewed him one time. He came on our WGN TV Morning News. He was doing one of these fan shows, you know, where they come and they sign autographs. And he couldn't have been nicer, couldn't have been more professional, played along. We did a silly game show that he happily participated in and had, a good time with. But Larry Potash, Robin Baumgarten, and I... all talked with Carl Weathers. This was right in the middle of the pandemic. If you go on YouTube, you can see the interview, and we're all separated by, you know, how everyone was back on TV back during the pandemic. None of us sat close to each other. We're all separated, but still we had a really nice conversation with Carl Weathers here talking about what people ask him about most, which of his famous roles people ask him about most often.
I got to tell you, it's amazing to me that over the years, you know, you said over 40, it's nearly 50.
Oh, my gosh.
In a year and a half, it'll be 50 years that I've been a professional actor. Somebody's been paying me for it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So the generations are spanned.
Yeah.
There's grandma and grandpa, and then there's mama and papa, and then there is the daughter and the son, and then there's their daughter and son.
Isn't that something?
But that's the thing, though, right, that it spans all those generations, that these films, all of these films have become, you know, such a legacy films. When you take a look at some of these old clips, what do you think about? I mean, the Rocky films, what did you go in? What was in your mind when you went into this with a guy that had never directed a film, had done very, very little acting, and you're in here now with this, you know, this guy, Sylvester Stallone?
Yeah. Well, in all due modesty, Sylvester Stallone wasn't Sylvester Stallone then.
Right, okay? That's what I mean.
He was a struggling actor, and so was I. So, you know, you look back on it, and I'm one of those people who is saying, next. Not yesterday.
Yeah.
It just, you know, yesterday's gone. And there is no tomorrow. So I'm looking next, right now. You know, what am I doing? And fortunately, there's a fan base there that continues to support, you know, as you were saying about people showing up at these fan expos and all these kinds of conventions who are fans of these movies. I'm a lucky guy. I'm a fortunate guy, and thank God that it just keeps rolling.
Yeah. When I think professional athletes who become actors, it's usually kind of an afterthought. Hey, maybe I'll go do this. But you were serious from the beginning, and even, and I'm much younger than you, but when I was in school...
Wait a minute. What do you mean you're much younger than
much
me?
Younger. What
are you saying?
The athletes were not in the theater club, right?
No.
So where did that come from?
Man... I just remember being bitten by the bug when I was in grade school.
Huh.
You know, the first play I did, I was in fifth or sixth grade, one of those pageant plays, of course. And then the next time I did a play, the following year, it was a scripted play that one of my teachers did. And there is nothing like standing on stage as a kid and suddenly hearing...
But did the athletes give you a hard time about it?
Oh, are you kidding me? When I was at San Diego State playing for Don Coryell and had great athletes all around me, Fred Dreyer, Haven Moses, I mean, these guys who went on and were great pros. There was one guy, a guy named Lloyd Edwards, who was our fullback. Giant dude. He was bigger than I was. And I played linebacker. And Lloyd used to stand on one end of campus, and if he'd see me, he'd go, "Yo, actor! Actor!" And of course, you know, I'm going, oh my God, because I want to be an athlete. I want to be known as a great player, you know? So, yeah, it's been interesting with the athletes.
And you're an athlete, but then being a football player and, you know, making yourself into a boxer, people probably for years thought you were a boxer. You thought you were Apollo Creed. You became friends with Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, many still do, but I know the truth, and so do real boxers. They know the truth. They said, you know, as Apollo said to Rocky, you know, you box good, but I'm a good boxer, okay? And that's what, you know, the professionals would look at me and say, man, you really can move. You look like you can do that.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, right. Give me a minute on film and I'm great.
Probably so much training and choreography, right? Goes into even the shortest of those boxing scenes.
Oh, absolutely. But I mean, you know, the idea is, as an actor, what my job is real simple. It's to make you believe. And if I don't do that, then I'm not doing my job. So whether it's playing an athletic role or in Happy Gilmore, the golfer with one hand, and then obviously playing piano. Folks, that wasn't Carl Weathers playing piano. They used someone else's hands. Those hands weren't as beautiful as mine, all banged up linebacker hands.
But you can sing too.
That I can do.
Yeah.
I recorded a couple times for a couple companies, and it went nowhere, but I pretended, you know.
Yeah. Well, we got more with Carl Weathers coming up.
Carl Weathers from 2022, July of 2022, when he was in town doing one of those fan convention shows, visiting with us on WGN Morning News, who we lost just the other day at the age of 76. So we have something super exciting to announce. You've heard that Tom Skilling is going to be retiring.
Yes.
At the end of the month.
Yes.
After 45 years.
Wow.
At WGN Television. It's amazing. He's a legendary. He's the greatest. Talk about a goat. Talk about greatest of all time.
Yeah.
That's Tom Skilling. He has agreed to come in studio on this show spend 2 hours with us 2 weeks from today.
That's awesome.
The 18th, February 18th, he'll be live and in studio with us.
Oh, the 18th. Okay, good.
Yeah, 18th from 11 a.m. until 1. He'll be in here and just, you know, taking phone calls and goofing around and having some fun with us.
I remember one time I was working overnight with Steve and Johnny back when we were at the other location.
In the old dump?
Yeah, I was waiting for you to say
the old dump, yes. Tribune Tower.
I was working overnight with them.
Now in the Michigan Avenue's finest mattress store.
They had Tom come on with what was supposed to be about 10 to 15 minutes to just give a brief overview. We were dealing with a winter storm or something.
Yeah, there's no such thing.
It went on for an hour and a half.
There's no such thing as brief.
It went on for an hour and a half. Phone calls, the whole bit. Yeah.
You know what I remember when he would do the weather with Bob Collins in the morning, and he'd start talking about, you know, cumulonimbus clouds and fronts. High pressures, and Bob would stop him. Tom, is it going to rain tomorrow? Well, he is being more than gracious with his time, and he will be here in studio with us 2 weeks from today.
I can't wait. Really.
2 weeks from
today. I can't wait. Yeah, that's going to be great.
It's
going to be here, not on the phone.
It's going to be here, right here, live in studio. 11 to 1 on the 18th, just a couple of weeks before he retires.
You know what is really wonderful is I have never really met him.
What?
I've talked to him on the phone any number of times. I was at a convention many years ago where he was a keynote speaker, and he was meeting and talking with everybody.
Right.
And this was the days before phones, so if you had a camera, it was, you know, a larger camera that you brought with you, not part of your phone. But he stayed and talked with everybody who wanted an autograph,
everybody wanted
a picture.
He always does that.
So this will be... Oh, I'm delighted. I really
exciting.
Am. Yeah. I get to actually meet him.
Bring your Kodak Instamatic camera in. Bring your Polaroid.
I'm buying the camera I bought from Andy, the Nikon D5000.
Oh, geez, here we go. Okay.
Right. I knew you'd love that serial number
Number. I love any serial number that you give me. Tom Skilling, live and in studio with us for 2 hours. On February the 18th, I hope you will be here with us as well.
Zoner, I've decided to move in a different direction, and we've talked it over, and we're going to have to let you go.
Ah, not this again. Look, for the last time, you don't own this place. You don't even own your car.
It's not really necessary to get
If anybody anymore. Owns this place, it's me, Tom freaking Skilling. I could have you killed if I wanted to. As a matter of fact, hot shot, I'm about to show you who owns this place, you little punk. Go ahead. Keep running, you coward. Let me go.
Get out of the way.
Well, I'll show you who's going to let somebody go around here.
The Golden Girls are coming back to Chicago. One of the most popular television sitcoms of all time, now coming to the stage here in Chicago at the Broadway Playhouse at Watertower Place, February 6th through the 25th. And here to tell us a little bit about it is the actor who plays Blanche in the show, Vince Kelly. Vince, thank you for joining us. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. I never get tired of hearing that song.
Right? It's same with me. I don't know what it is exactly about this show. I grew up watching it. I still watch it. I mean, if I see it in rerun someplace, I'll put it on. I can practically say the dialogue. I could practically be in your show. That's how much I know the plots and the characters. I'm a huge fan of this show, and why I'm excited about The Golden Girls, The Laughs Continue, that will be at Watertower Place in a couple of days. Tell us a little bit about what this is.
Yeah, so it's The Golden Girls, as you know and love them, with a whole new story. You know, it's almost like a lost episode, brand new script. I know there's a lot of other Golden Girls shows, and they do kind of a mix of original scripts, which is amazing and super cool and fun, and we love that. But what our show is a whole new storyline. It takes place in 2024, so it's kind of like the Girls never went off the air, just kept going, but maybe they switched from cable network to a streaming platform so that you can, have a little bit more fun with it.
Yeah, it could be a little saucier.
Exactly. But yeah, our show is Sophia is out on a bail. She was in Shady Pines selling some medicinal drugs to, help her friends, her seniors with some end of life, and she got caught by the DEA. Rose and Blanche have developed an app for seniors to, find some companionship, if you will, so that they can go and, little dating site for seniors. Okay. And on that app, Dorothy, who, as we all know on the show, was always pretty unlucky in love, finds herself a charming man who just happens to be Sophia's prosecuting attorney in her case. So obviously hilarity ensues.
That's very, very funny. Very funny. but I would imagine that the characters are intact, even though everything is updated. It's the characters that we know and love. You playing Blanche and all of the rest of the girls are as we know them from television, right?
Absolutely. Right when it's one of my favorite parts of the show. Within the first, 3 minutes, all the characters are introduced, and one by one they come out and they say their first line, and the audience just loses it because, the costumes aren't updated. They're wearing their clothes from the late 80s, early 90s, of course. And the set, which is its own character as well, is painstakingly recreated. So as soon as we come out and we say our first little line and our perfectly honed little, voices and accents, they just gasp and scream, and they're like, how are they here right in front of me, and portrayed by, four handsome young men.
Yes, that was the other thing I was going to mention to you, that the Golden Girls here are actually portrayed by Golden Guys. Not so Golden Guys. You're not senior citizens at all. But you are. But you are definitely guys portraying the four ladies, right?
Yeah. So that kind of goes back to what we were saying about, it moving from cable to streaming. A man in a wig and a pair of sensible heels can get away with a few extra things that, a brilliant female comedian can. And I like to say, sometimes it takes a bigger foot to fill such iconic shoes.
Oh, look at you. Look at you. putting the positive spin on that. Very nice.
Exactly. Yes.
So what's it like? I got to think that playing Blanche has to be, I'm sure it's fun for all the actors who take on these roles, but Blanche is such a provocative character. It's got to be a lot of fun for you as an actor to take on this role.
Let me tell you, it is a dream come true. As we were saying before, there's a lot of the Golden Verse is huge. There's plenty of shows, a brilliant one right in Chicago already at Hell in a Handbag. So I've been a part of a few Golden Girl shows in the periphery. I helped out with costumes for some. I've been here and there, and I've always wanted to play Blanche. And then when my time finally came, I was so excited because Blanche is so much fun. She, in her mind, is this tragic Tennessee Williams Southern, character, this heroine. But really, she's just a good time girl. And what I relate to the most is Blanche, is never the butt of the joke. Even if everyone's laughing, she's the first to laugh, the last to laugh, the loudest to laugh at herself. And I'm very much the same way. So I just love that about her, that she's just kind of this water off a duck's back kind of gal, and you can't get her down.
Yeah, very funny. Very, very funny. Tell me about your castmates in this show. Who takes on Dorothy, Sophia, and the Betty White character?
Rose.
Rose.
Yes. Well, what a great question, because it's one of my favorite topics. I love these guys so much. So much of what made the original show work, on top of the brilliant writing, was just these four women, these four powerhouse comedians who worked so well with each other, knew each other's timing. That's the longevity. That's the legacy of the show, is these four brilliant women. So it's just such a treat that the four guys who are in the show also love each other. We have such a good time. We hang out 24/7, even though we work together all the time. And the way that, like, the characters have so much to do with, like, their real life, like Adam, who portrays Rose, Betty White. I mean, I love him more than my luggage, but he rarely is paying attention. We'll be talking, we'll be having directors, you know, notes and stuff, and it's like, hey, honey, pay attention. What's up? Where you at? So he is so much that just
very,
like, yeah,
very Rose-like.
Lovable.
Yeah, yeah, very Rose-like.
So much.
Yeah.
So much. And Christopher Cam, who plays Sophia, is like just our little sassy, quick one-liner. He is just a very stereotypical Italian grandmother, and he takes care of all of us, and he's a baker, so he's always making us little goodies, just like Sophia. It's so funny. And then our Ryan Bernier, who plays Dorothy, I found him as a substitute teacher. So one more thing that just hasn't come with the character, and he's very dry in the best way possible. So the casting couldn't have worked out any better.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of the show, and I love all of the characters. I love the actresses who play them on this classic television show. But I have a special affection for Bea Arthur as Dorothy, who could just, you know, raise an eyebrow and bring a room down. You know, and this goes back to her playing Maude. This goes back to her playing roles on Broadway. Incredible actress that could kill you with a look, you know. And I would think that has to be kind of pivotal in recreating this now in your show.
Absolutely. I mean, what's fun, what's the great dichotomy of our show is it's a drag parody, if you boil it down at the end of the day. But what we have is four brilliant actors who have such respect for these women that it is studied as much as we were doing Shakespeare. I mean, Rose and Dorothy have master's degrees in acting. They just graduated from Wayne State University. I've been in the industry for 30 some years. I mean, we're very serious about how ridiculous we get to be on stage. So yeah. Everything is studied, and yes, you get those eyebrow raises. You get everything that you want out of these characters.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's funny that you bring up Shakespeare in this, because when I first read about, you know, some of these Golden Girl shows that are almost always performed by men, it's very Shakespearean in that way, when men would take on women's roles in these early Shakespearean roles. So not to over-dramatize this a little bit, but it really does go back to kind of Shakespearean roots, doesn't it, of men portraying
absolutely
women?
No, 100%. It's been happening since the beginning of time. I know that we're in a, you know, political climate right now where it becomes a different issue, but we're just four actors who are given a script, and that script happens to be us playing these particular characters,
right.
And we, you know, put on our makeup and we go ahead, and it's not like that. So yeah. yes, it is very when you get down to it. Yeah.
Yeah, this is not, it's not a political show. If you don't want to laugh, don't come and see the show.
The Golden Girls are such a good, great divider. You know, you put it on Hallmark Channel and everybody, no matter what side of the aisle or religion background you're into, you're going to watch it. So that's what we want to bring. If you want to laugh, then you're good to go.
It sounds like it's going to be a real hoot. Tell me about your background a little bit. I know that you're from Michigan, but did you start, doing acting and drama back there?
Yeah. When I was very little, I was about 7 years old, and they were doing The Sound of Music at, like, the local high school. And my uncle's girlfriend, who's now my aunt, they've been together like 34 years, she was in the show, and they needed a little guy, obviously, for that show. And she asked if I could do it because she was in the show. And then I remember I was like 7 or 8, and I was like, Mom, we need to get serious about this. Like, why aren't I in dance lessons? Why aren't I taking voice lessons? Yeah. You're slacking. Yeah. You got to step it up, Chris. And I just never looked back. I graduated high school. I went to school in New York, and I did some touring when I was younger, you know, when I was 19 and 20 and 21, I was on the road. And then I was like, okay, well, I'm good. I'm done. I moved back to Michigan with my family. I started working in you know, the school system in theater, teaching and stuff, which a lot of people do. And then this opportunity fell in my lap, and here I am back on the road where I didn't think I would be.
How about that? From what part of Michigan are you from?
The Detroit area, greater Detroit. I grew up in Fraser.
Okay. All right. Very good. Well, so you're, you know, not too far from home, being here in...
No. You know, it's really funny. I have a cute little Chicagoland story. We would always go, obviously, you know, it's a lot easier to get Chicago to see fantastic theater, and usually you guys have it before they even go to New York, so it's a wonderful opportunity to go see shows while they're trying out. And we used to go when we were in high school, and I remember my senior year in particular, we were on a trip. We went to the Drury Lane Theater, which is now the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower. They had just gone through their rebranding.
Oh, right.
And we saw a show my senior year, and at intermission, my choir teacher came up to me and he said, "Your mom called my phone. She needs you to call her back." And I thought something was wrong, or, you know, kind of panicked. So it was that intermission, and I called my mom back, and she said, "Your letter came from school. Do you want me to open it? I want to open it right now." And I was like, "Oh, okay, let's go ahead." And she opened the letter, and I found out that I got accepted, and I got a wonderful scholarship to the college that I ended up going to. And I remember being at that theater, and in the first act, I was like, "God, I want to do this so bad. I want to be an actor so bad." I it was so exciting to see these professionals working. And then 15 minutes later, I found out that I was going to get to go and further my education and become one. And now here I am coming back to Chicago.
In that very theater. At that very theater.
I know,
theater,
isn't that so fun?
Where you got that incredible news. It's meant to be. I'm sure you're going to have a great run while you're here. Chicago loves the Golden Girls. And this is called Golden Girls, The Laughs Continue. It's at the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower. It'll open on February the 6th. It'll run through the 25th. And you can get tickets and information at BroadwayInChicago.com. Vince, it's wonderful to talk to you. And I hope we get a chance to say hello while you're in town. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you so much. What an honor to speak to you. And yes, we look forward to you coming to check out the show.
It's Vince Kelly Blanche from Golden Girls. The laughs continue. So I was in Los Angeles most of last week doing some interviews. So I'm on the plane last night, coming home last night. You ever been on a plane, Schwani?
Yeah, I have. I have.
I just want to set the.
So
I just want to set the mood.
What do you want to? What do you want to do about it?
So I'm sitting in my chair. And by the way, thank you, person in front of me, for reclining your seat. Very courteous of you. It's my pet peeve. I hate when people do that. That's number one. But here's the number two thing. I put my tray table down because they're about to bring by some beverages. So I put my tray table down, and somebody had taken the gum that they had been chewing and stuck it on where the tray table was. So I opened the tray table, and here's this big wad of chewed up gum that somebody put there.
That's just lovely.
Banned for life. You should never be able to fly again.
That's right.
Exactly right. Disgusting.
Wow. Dare I ask where on the tray table the gum was?
It was just, you know.
It was just there.
Does it matter?
No.
Like, are certain
regions. It's bad enough.
Certain regions of the tray table better than others?
No.
It's just not what you expect. First of all, I don't even like touching any of that stuff. I didn't do it yesterday, but I should have. Because normally, like, during the pandemic, I would get my disinfectant wipes out. I'd wipe down the arms of the chairs. I'd wipe down the chair itself, because I didn't want my head touching the back of the seat, because that's how crazy I am. I would wipe down the tray table. I'd wipe down everything. And I didn't yesterday, but I sure was grossed out by whatever.
I would have been too.
Pig thought that it would be perfectly okay to take the chewed up gum out of their mouth and put it on the tray table.
Oh, absolutely. Did you say anything to any of the flight attendants?
No. I mean, it's not their fault.
No, it isn't their fault. But
what are they going to do?
Well,
I got some Kleenex. I took it off and, you know, disposed of it.
Oh, okay. All right.
After I put on a hazmat suit.
I was going to say, with you, yes. I want to know how you got the hazmat suit into a carry-on bag. That's what I want to know.
I wear it on the plane.
I can see you standing in line waiting to board the plane.
If you're ever on a plane with somebody and you see them in what looks like a beekeeper suit, it's probably me.
Oh,
and here's
that's hilarious.
And here's another thing. What's up with the dogs on the planes now? I love dogs, but somebody had a dog on the plane that started barking, and it wasn't a little dog. It was a good sized dog.
Sat next to a woman with a little dog once, flying all the way from California back home.
A little dog I can almost understand.
Yeah.
But this was like a medium sized dog.
Where was the animal?
Well, in the person's arms.
That's bizarre.
I think, aren't they supposed
to be in a carrier. Yeah.
They're supposed to be in a carry-on case. But this, I don't know if it was an emotional support dog or whatever.
Maybe it was one of those, yes.
So can I just bring any animal I want on a plane now?
Great idea.
You can walk the dog down the aisle. Your Great Dane or your German Shepherd walking down the aisle.
I had a German Shepherd at one time.
I know. There you go.
Could I have brought her on the plane?
You could have brought her on the plane, yes.
If I go on the plane with my emotional aardvark that I have, emotional support aardvark, can you bring any kind of, what's the deal with animals on planes? Are you allowed to bring any kind you want on now?
Well, like I said, the one I sat next to was in a carrier, there wasn't a problem.
I like when they're concealed in the shirt and they get, like, the head just pops up and they're hanging. No. That's a good look.
It's a nice surprise.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Boing.
So the dog started barking?
The dog started barking.
And how long did that continue?
I thought it was the lady sitting next to me that was barking at first.
So you had gum
chewed up gum on the tray.
You had someone reclining into your...
reclined into my lap.
And then a dog barking.
I think in some states, me and that guy that reclined into me are engaged right now.
The recliner should be banned, too.
Yeah, I don't even want... I mean, the seats don't recline that much, but... It's still rude to do that to the person behind you.
Have you ever been on a plane where two people get into a verbal argument?
No.
In front of you? Oh, I had. And a very long flight back from Europe once.
Ooh. Are yelling?
They were yelling, and it got a little fierce, and the flight attendant had to go over and do a little referee work.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was not pleasant.
Oh, see, that would be fun. That I might enjoy.
I'm surprised. Often as you fly, I would have thought you might have seen.
I've never seen
somebody get into a little verbal sparring.
Oh, no.
And this obviously was between two people who did not know each other, but something set it off, and
somebody
they
got
were
the arm,
not happy.
Somebody got the armrest.
Yeah,
that'll set off a fight.
The armrest will do it. Yeah,
I did get into an armrest fight with somebody one time.
Did you?
I mean, not a fight, but. I would like put
your arm on the
armrest, and they would push my arm off.
Oh, they pushed you off?
So, how does an emotionally responsible person such as myself react? I push their arm off.
It's better than a hit to the face. Good job, Dean.
Did they say anything about the hazmat suit you were wearing?
No, I'm surprised they didn't. 847 area code says, Dean, you should be flying first class. You're a first-class kind of guy.
Hey. Yeah. All right. Just the Way You Are was a great Billy Joel song.
I think that's his greatest song ever.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was from a great album, too, The Stranger.
Schwanee's theme song. Big Shot.
I was going to say, that's for you.
Well, you went.
Billy Joel rocks. I like Billy Joel. We'll see. Maybe he'll do his new song and a medley of many of his old songs.
That would be fun.
That
would be fun.
That I would like.
Yep.
But yeah, I like What's the other? Did I say she's always a woman?
She's always a woman.
Beautiful. Always a woman to me. I love that song.
Yep.
New York State of Mind, anybody?
Yes.
Love New York State.
Yes, yes.
Bottle of red, bottle of white. Oh, about our singing, Shawnee?
No. A texter.
A texter.
Saying.
Yes, a texter.
Saying, keep your day jobs.
815 area code. Dean, there was a time that I wish I could sing. Now I wish there was a time that you couldn't sing. And Shawnee. That's going to be the beauty of our, when we put our album out, we know we suck. We know we stink. We sound terrible. That's the beauty of our singing. On the text front, by the way, 630 area code, it is not rude to recline your seat on an airplane.
Well, I've read where you should ask, maybe. You know, but who's going to turn around on an airplane to call? Say, may I recline my seat?
I think you should call that person, Dean, and let's have a full discussion.
Really. If you're going to text us, really, you should block your phone numbers because there may come a time that we disagree with you so much that we may actually call you back. I just think unless you're going to Europe, there's no need to recline your seat. It doesn't even recline that much anyway.
You're in the person's space. You're making it worse for the person behind you.
There's barely any room anyway. So, you know, come on, give the person behind you a break for a couple hours. It's going to kill you, really? 773 area code. Dean, love the show. We appreciate that. Whenever you include that in any text, by the way, if you put a compliment into, we love that. Dean, love the show. Give me a dog on a plane any day over a person.
Nah, that's a good take.
Okay.
I do love that. Dean, they used to allow all sorts of emotional support animals on the plane, but it was getting ridiculous when someone actually brought on a Shetland pony. Seriously?
All right, how do you do that?
Did someone brought an emotional support horse on the plane?
A support horse.
At one time, there was a person who would fly with their emotional support pig.
I was thinking pig earlier, Dean and his pig, but then I thought that was ridiculous, and now here we are.
Here we are. Here we are. Let me see here. Wait, there's another. Oh, here. I'm so tired. This is 847 area code. I'm so tired of these boneheads with emotional support animals. Take some Xanax and whiskey like the rest of us.
There you go.
Billy Joel's A Matter of Trust is really great. My two favorite Billy Joel songs are Allentown and The Longest Time. I agree with that.
Allentown.
That's a good song. What else? People are pretty active on the old text line.
Well, today. Billy Joel is very popular, yeah. So they would be.
Big Shot was written in the voice of Mick Jagger, it says here. Billy wrote it as if Mick was singing it. He talked about it on a Howard Stern show way back, came up with the song while eating dinner with Mick and whichever woman he was with at the time. How interesting is that? I never knew that.
But I can kind of envision that. You know, when you think about it, think of the way the song is. You know, it's that attitude thing, you know.
Moving out.
You had to be a big shot.
Yeah, big shot. 847 area code says, Moving Out is my favorite Billy Joel song.
That's a good one. Yep.
It's a good one. And it says, oh, and I do love your show. Because when you're going to text in, you should really text a compliment whether you mean it.
Otherwise, you're not going to read it.
Yeah, is that it? Even if you don't mean it. wow, look at this. I love the song Honesty.
Yes, there's another good one.
Honesty, that's such a good song.
He's got the range that, you know, makes you feel it, gets you up and going.
You know, love Piano Man, it says here.
Mm-hmm.
630, Dean, love the show. I think we started something. Back in high school, my history teacher used We Didn't Start the Fire as a teaching lesson. We had groups of four. We had one or two lines in the song, and then we had to look up and find out who these people were.
How brilliant is that?
How brilliant
That's creative. Yeah.
That is brilliant. Good for the teacher that thought of that.
You bet. You bet.
It was a great lesson, and I learned to really love the song. Very nice. Only the good die young. Billy Joel's had.
Wow. Yeah. Think of the songs we've rattled off
here. Quite a library.
I know.
Iconic.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Very cool. All right. So, anywho, Billy Joel is going to be performing on the Grammys tonight. Joni Mitchell is going to be performing on the Grammys tonight. And let me tell you, Shawnee, tell me when you hear an artist, these are some of the other performers who are going to be on the Grammy Awards tonight performing. Tell me when you... Oh, well, here, you know Tracy Chapman.
Right? Tracy Chapman, yes.
Tracy Chapman's going to sing her song Fast Car with country star Luke Combs.
Okay, I know that name.
I love his version of the song, Fast Car. Who else is performing here? Wait, I've got the list. I do have the list. Is there anything better, really, than listening to me rattle paper on the show, really? Honestly?
I find it to be interesting to see how long you just go for it. Maybe all the way to 11:30 news. Just start.
You had 3 minutes to kill.
Hey, everybody.
Yeah, listen to me rattle in some papers. Yeah, I can't find it.
Okay.
Oh, wait, here it is. Here it is. I found it.
All right.
Burna Boy is going to be performing.
Who?
Burna Boy.
Come on, Shawnee. You know Burna Boy.
No.
Yeah. Do you?
He's a
Dean loves to do this to me.
I don't know Burna Boy either.
He rose to stardom in 2012 after releasing Like to Party. Come on. His early life, he comes out of Nigeria. His mother...
Is anyone faster on the Google machine than Carm, by the way?
I'm a big fan of... Burna Boy gets
not
it
only,
done.
Not only are you fast on the Google, you can't even hear you typing.
Well, that's because he turns the mic off, and then he turns it on when he gets what he needs.
I don't even think I turned it off, to be honest. I could have gotten it done this quick.
He's got very, very soft fingers. Everyone knows that about Carm.
Thank you.
Billie Eilish. You know Billie
Eilish.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. I know Billie Eilish. I know the sure. Billie Eilish. Yeah.
Dua Lipa, do you know Dua Lipa?
Since yesterday.
What do you mean?
Because that's when we were reading the story here yesterday morning about scissors and rock scissors and paper. That group that's going to be out tonight.
Not scissors.
Shawnee, you would bond with Dua Lipa.
You think so?
Yes, absolutely.
Really?
Sure. She. I mean, you're talking about somebody that's, you know, her ancestry can also be traced back to Kosovo. Both of her grandfathers were historians. You and Dua Lipa could do a historical deep dive.
Oh, there's the idea for the podcast right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
My new name for Karma is Google McGoogleton.
Google McGoogleton.
On the text line says, thank you guys. I love the Sunday morning show. I'm listening in Loveland, Colorado.
Oh, wow.
Hello, Loveland, Colorado.
Hello, Loveland.
Hello. I listen faithfully and love your banter.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Thanks for noticing my banter.
Loveland, Colorado. Where else did we hear from, Larry?
Hello. 314 area. Where's 314? Is that by Peoria? No, St. Louis?
St. Louis, I think. Yeah.
Hello, St. Louis.
Yeah.
Love your show. I'm 72 years old and wasn't going to watch the Grammys till I heard you talk about it.
Well, they heard us singing, too.
Figure it can only get better.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, whatever. You know, that's what people say. You know, I'm not going to watch the Grammys. I don't know any of the artists. You do know some of the artists, for one thing. Joni Mitchell and Billy Joel are two of them. But I'll bet you know a lot of the other younger artists.
Somewhere along the line, you hear those songs. Yeah. And you may not know who they are. And then you put the name to the song, and then you know it.
I think it's just fun to, you know, learn about what, you know, some new music. Hear some new music once in a while. I think that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
I work for United Airlines. Someone tried to get on one of our planes with a peacock. It's got a brand new book that's just come out called And Then We Rise, A Guide to Loving and Taking Care of Yourself. It's a self-help book about eating properly and living a positive lifestyle. He's a very, very, very thoughtful young man. And I've been very blessed to call him friend for, I don't know, like 20 years now or something like that. We've had so many conversations both on the air and off the air. He was in Chicago this past week talking about his new book, and I sat down with him one-on-one, and we learned a little bit about it. And I wondered if there were moments of his life that were more special than others.
Well, it differs at different moments for me, but the overall feeling is that, wow, I need this feeling of being rooted, being planted, being grounded. And it's times where I'm actually looking at Chicago like, wow, this is where I'm from. This is a beautiful place. Like, you know, there's certain things I look at, you know, because sometimes when I come home, it's new things, too.
Sure.
But just in general, the essence of our city, I'm like, wow, this is a wonderful place to be from. And, yeah, like I said, at different moments, sometimes when I'm coming home to work, I get less of a chance to just be in the roots of mm-hmm. what this city actually is to me. But even so, like, seeing you, it's like, oh, man, you know, we go back. We got a connection. It's so, for me, it's always, it always feels like it plants me on ground where I need to be.
Yeah. I think because we've known each other for such a long time, too, that this your new book, And Then We Rise, like, really resonated, that I got a feel that you are... You're giving like the essence of Common here, more than the rapper, more than the actor, more than the producer, the benefactor, all the professional things that you do.
Yeah.
This is like the real Common right here.
Yeah,
and how you live your life, and you clearly you want to share that. Why do you feel like you wanted to put it into book form?
Well, I believe in what I call the Harriet Tubman theory. Harriet Tubman is the woman, obviously, who got freed from slavery. She freed herself and was able to go back and help her people. I feel like I've been able to access and experience a lot of powerful things in life, including, like, nutritionists and foods that are actually beneficial for my health and information about that, including therapy, including like being around spiritual leaders. And I felt that I owe it to where I come from and to people to share those experiences, and it not be about me. The experiences are being told so that it can empower you, the reader, the listener, to say, hey, wait, I got the same capacity. This dude is no different than me in so many ways. This is just what he utilized to. He had his own passions and gifts, and to get to those gifts, he utilized these resources and techniques.
Yeah. And I like that you, I mean, it's much more complex than this, but you broke it down into four categories, basically.
Yeah.
Food, body, mind, and soul.
Yeah.
Could you just briefly explain what each of those are? Yeah. You talked about nutrition already and what you feed your body for optimal use of your body.
Yeah.
And you're vegan. I never knew that about you.
Yeah, well, so at times I
learned a little fish. Something. From
yeah, I'm vegan. Yeah. But at times I have been back and forth with fish and vegan. But the point is I had changed my diet a long time ago in the early 90s when I was 19. And I'll get to the food. As you said, I discussed the food. But the mind is really important. is one of the pillars that I talk about in the book. And I'm saying it's so important because everything we do for ourselves, if we don't have our mind in the best place, we'll never, like, truly, fully maximize and reach our highest potential. Like, even when doctors give you prescriptions, if you don't believe they're going to work, then it's a chance it may not work. And on the opposite side of that, or even on the similar side, when you're working towards healing and you're using natural methods, you know, applying natural methods mm-hmm. towards healing, you have to believe in it. You have to believe in it. And that's what integrative medicine is about. And I talk about integrative medicine because healing on a physical level requires your mind, too. It requires your mind. And also, so does working out. Like, that's why I wanted to tie the mind with the body, because I know, like, the way you think about your body affects your body. Like, it's the difference between being like, man, I'm too overweight, to being like, you know what? I can improve. I want to improve on where I am right now. You know, I'm not where I want to be. It's the difference in that, in saying the way you talk to yourself right. and the way you think about yourself.
Yeah.
So, and I put the soul in it because, you know, spirituality has been the key, the foundation to everything that I do. Like, everything, like music, even in acting, I make sure, like, I'm spiritually sound before going in doing these scenes. And it's just beyond the scenes. That's just what I need throughout my day to deal with the stresses and anxiety. And I tie them all together and put food as an important pillar because I've noticed how much food has affected each aspect of what I'm talking about. It's affected my mind. When, like, I've been much clearer when I decided to eat a more balanced diet and things that were cleaner and put that in my life. I was just thinking clear. But I also knew that, like, okay, when I was getting my body together and getting the workouts and I'm exercising, I'm eating healthier, if my soul isn't in the right place, then I'm not fully being able to
right.
to soar and be at my highest right. self. And that's what this is about.
Yeah, he is such a well-thought-out person. His new book is And Then We Rise, A Guide to Loving and Taking Care of Self. Chicago's own Common, grew up on the South Side, has been rumored to be dating another Chicagoan, Jennifer Hudson. Back to our conversation that we had earlier this week with Grammy, Emmy, and Oscar winner Common about his brand new book and his brand new relationship with another of Chicago's very own.
Noticed, you know, you've been on your book tour and I've seen you doing other interviews and talking with you before we actually sat down to do this. You seem so happy right now.
Really?
Am I reading that correctly? You almost seem a little giddy with your happiness.
Well, right, I mean, I think I am in a very happy and peaceful place. Very grateful to be there because, you know, there's times where we probably sat down and I was dealing with a lot, but, you know, I could still find my joy in what we were doing, but, you know, that wasn't the overall feeling and sentiment of where I was in life. Right now, I feel that happiness and joy. A lot of it is coming from just me, like, growing through things and knowing that, man, if I just live life and do the things that I know I'm supposed to do, I could truly be in happiness and be present. And if something outside of me affects and is going on, whether it's a family member dealing with something stressful or something in the world, I can deal with it accordingly. But I can still, like I did during the pandemic, find a way to find peace beyond understanding. And that's a powerful phrase for me in scripture because it's something that can be achieved, but it takes work and practice. And that peace beyond understanding is something that, and I'm not saying a human being shouldn't feel what we feel, but it is a way to get to when things do occur in life that you still find a peace with it.
Yeah.
And it's okay. We'll go through the stages. So to answer your question, I am very happy and life is good.
Right? I've seen big smiles on your face. I've seen you happy and laughing and yeah. so many times through the years. Maybe not smiling as much as I saw you on Jennifer Hudson's show the other day. You were both, I mean, she's been on our show many times.
Yeah.
I've talked with her probably as many times as I've talked to you.
Right.
You both just seemed so happy and and content.
Yeah.
And you did all but say we're in a relationship. You, right. you hinted every way possible. She's clearly a very important person to you.
Yes. And man, I mean, I value her, and that joy, the joy of being on the Jennifer Hudson show was just what I was feeling. I wasn't trying to be anything but me, and she and I, who we are together, and it wasn't like, let's put this on public display. It was just like, hey, okay, I have this book coming out. I would go on your show if we didn't know each other, so let's just be who we are. And we enjoyed it and chose to express whatever our connection is in the way that we felt that we, you know, so that we can also keep our what we have in a sacred space, in a private space, and respect it and honor it, and not put it up for public display, because that's not the origin of what it is, or that's not what the connection is. So yeah, but it's fun. It's been, I mean, I'm saying it was fun on the show, and she's an amazing human being, and I'm so proud that she's from Chicago, and been proud before. I've known, like, when I saw her in Dreamgirls, I was like, this woman is amazing. And then to see her do what she's done, out in the world and become an EGOT and, you know, do all the things, talk show and do things for the community as well. Just represent Chicago and black women and God the way she does.
Yeah.
It's a great person to be around, I'll say that.
Well, you know, with Valentine's Day right around the corner, you know, maybe you can help other people. You're super busy. She is super busy. How do you maintain friendship, relationship, however it is that you define it? How do you both, with both of your busy schedules, and I'm saying it for other people who have busy schedules and are trying to maintain some kind of relationship and can't find time to do it?
Well, you know, one of the challenges I had in, for me, evolving and growing in partnerships as an artist, was trying to figure out how to make sure I'm pursuing my dream and still being able to have a relationship. And I think, you know, just the steps I've taken to grow as a person have allowed me to know, like, trust, your dream is happening. You're working towards it. You're evolving in it. You're putting the work in, that you can take time to nurture and invest in other aspects of your life. Because this thing, you know, when you're trying to just get there and even just survive and take care of your family in certain ways, it embodies and denotes, takes so much of your energy and time and mind.
Right.
But, you know, I've learned that it's other things that are important to me, like spending time with family, like spending time with loved ones and friends. If I'm in a partnership, being able to be with that person too. So, I've been able to actually find ways to do the work that I do, and still not one thing take a L. Nothing takes a L. Like, and that part of that is discipline and time management, and like also being very clear with you know, you gotta have boundaries no matter what, with people you love and even with your own self, like the work, like, okay, excuse me, I need to take a break from this and go spend some time with loved ones.
Yeah. Talk to me about what you're working on right now.
Yeah.
It's been a minute since we've had some new music from you.
Yeah, well, I'm working on a new album entitled The Auditorium. And it's with the legendary producer Pete Rock, who has created some of hip-hop's greatest songs. Like, they reminisce over you, that him and Pete Rock and CL Smooth have done. And just, you know, he's produced for so many different artists, from Public Enemy to Dos Effex. It's just he created a whole prominent sound that lasted from the 90s on. Like, his music is on my playlist in the book for workout music. And it's something about the 50-year anniversary of hip-hop that really renewed that energy and love towards hip-hop for a lot of people. And me seeing that made me be like, yo, it's a space for that hip-hop music that has the spirit and energy of what we loved in the 90s, but it sounds, it's of today in a way that it's not like we're not trying to go back. And it should be timeless music. I'm praying and believing it will be timeless music. But we creating an album that I'm really enjoying and loving and can't wait to share with the people. And it's me, you know, in what I do, rhyming, like wordplay, emceeing, and Pete Rock in what he does, creating some of the boom bap basement soulful music that can translate to so many different people because it has a heart and soul.
Yeah. Just one final question. If you could do a collaboration with anybody, living or dead, who would you like to do something with?
Well, I would, the first person that comes to mind, so I'm pretty greedy, so I'm going to give you more than just one person.
Okay.
The first person that comes to mind is Marvin Gaye. And I just love his soul and what he brought to the music and his voice and how easy it was for him. Nina Simone is another person that would do it for me. So I wanted to give the male and the female aspect. And then a present day that is living, because I would like to give someone who's living, Kendrick Lamar is somebody that I really admire as a lyricist, as an MC, and just as an artist. And it would be somebody I would love to work with.
Yeah. Jennifer Hudson on that list?
Jennifer Hudson, that may be in the works already.
For the new album?
I would love, yes.
Yeah.
So that would be, I mean, working and us creating is something that is happening. It's going to happen in great ways, too.
I can't even tell you how happy I am to see you.
Yeah, great.
And how happy I am for everything that you accomplish and do. And this new book is out there right now. And Then We Rise, A Guide to Loving and Taking Care of Self.
Yes.
Thank you for spending some time. And all things great for you.
Yeah, great to see you, Dean.
Always,
you know,
a pleasure.
I got nothing but love for you, brother.
Likewise. Likewise, thank you.
All right, there is Common talking about his brand new book, and Then We Rise, talking about he made some news. It hadn't been out there at all that he's going to be doing a collaboration with Jennifer Hudson. So going to look forward to that and his new album and all of his new projects. If you don't watch the Grammys tonight, I'm going to be recapping it all tomorrow morning on WGN-TV Morning News. Shwani, what's my slogan when it comes to award shows?
You watch them so we don't have to.
Exactly correct. I should have T-shirts
but
made.
Joni Mitchell is well worth tuning in for.
Needlepoint pillows that say that. I watch so you don't have to.
Needlepoint. Have Aunt Bee make them for
have
you.
Have Aunt Bee make them.
She'll do them. She and Clara Edwards can go to work on it.
We almost got through a whole show without any
words. I had to work it in. I hope she does that song, Help Me,
tonight. Love that song.
Man, that's great.
I love Big Yellow Taxi.
Big Yellow Taxi, yeah.
Free Man in Paris. We played that a little earlier. There have been so many great Joni Mitchell songs. And so we'll see. We'll definitely feature it tomorrow morning for sure. I mentioned that Billy Joel's going to be performing on the Grammys tonight. I think this is his first time also performing on the Grammys. And a lot of contemporary artists. It's always a lot of fun watching the Grammy Awards. And speaking of TV, a legend in television is about to call it quits. It's hard to believe. 45 years ago, young Tom Skilling came to WGN from Milwaukee and, defined what television weather forecasting has become, not just here in Chicago, everywhere. He's considered one of the greatest television weathermen of all time anywhere. And he has announced his retirement the end of the month on WGN-TV. We're going to be closing up shop over there. Shwani, I don't know if you heard that or not. When Skilling goes, we're just going to close the station down.
Oh, that's going to be the end of it?
Yeah, that'll be the end of it. There's no point in continuing for the rest of us. No,
I've had people say to me, I hope Tom Skilling never leaves. Yeah. So that's why I was getting texts and, you know, people saying to me, what, he's really retiring?
I know. A lot of people have said that. Don't, no, Tom, don't retire. Come on, let the man retire. Let the man relax a little bit. He literally, I mean, he's got a weather station at his house.
Yeah.
And the minute he wakes up, he's on the weather maps and the computers, and he loves it. He's never going to complain about it because he loves it. But, you know, he wants to slow down a little bit. He'll occasionally do a little, you know, project once in a while. But, you know, the daily grind of, you know, turning out all these weather forecasts for 45 years. Come on. Give the man a break. I'm sad to see him go, too, but I'm sad for us. I'm happy for him. And
that's the way to look at it.
Yeah, I have to stay focused that way, that he has more than earned some relaxation. And, you know, I just wish him the best. And I could not be more honored that he accepted my invitation to come in studio with us, not next week, but the week after, February 18th. Tom will be in studio with us for 2 hours, and we'll take your calls and we'll take your questions and compliments, and you know, we'll just talk about this remarkable career and introduce him to Schwani for the first time. I can't believe that you've
I've never met him in person. Never have. And I'm delighted that he's coming on the 18th. Not only that, dare I say that it's going to be one of the highlights of all the years you've done this Sunday morning program. Those 2 hours,
I agree.
Guaranteed.
I agree. Well, you consider the, you know, the schlock that we usually put out here every week. to have somebody of quality actually on this in the show.
It's, maybe we can get him to sing a song with us.
Oh, he would love that.
Maybe we can get him to sing.
I don't think we'd have to bend his arm too far to get him to join
us. Have him choose a favorite song, and we'll just join in.
You know what would be great? Because there'll be three of us. Well, you know, four if Andy wants to be a part of it.
Yeah.
But we know it would be great if we sang Row, Row, Row Your Boat. Oh.
In a round.
In a round. How great. Merrily, 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 merrily.
Well, you know, if
life is fun.
Okay, now you join in here.
I tell you, Dean. I tell you, I love that song.
Or, since there's four of us, we could be a barbershop quartet.
Oh, how great. Sweet Adeline. Oh,
Sweet Adeline.
Sweet Adeline.
Sweet Adeline.
You laugh now, everybody. But
just wait.
Wait till
weeks.
We put our album out. And we're up for a Grammy Award. You just wait till we're walking the red carpet.
The album carpet. No one wants to buy.
That's what it's going to be called. Nobody likes this. Yeah, but Skilling.
Can we put it out on an 8-track and a cassette?
Oh, that would, how great would that be?
That would be so cool.
I would like to sell it on KTEL Records if possible.
And do the announcement with the big echo chamber.
Oh, that would be the best. Skilling, 2 weeks from today, February 18th, from 11 until 1, and I'm so excited that he agreed to come in. I'm so flattered. I'm you know, kind of, it's kind of bittersweet. I'm sad. He's been my friend for such a long time. I'm sad that he's leaving, but I'm happy. He's going to get some relaxation, and I can only imagine how tired he must be from, you know, nonstop delivering the weather for all of us for all of this time.
He may bring all of his weather gear with him. Possible. After he retires.
Well, he's got it at home already.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
He's got a whole thing set up. He could do what he did weather forecast from his house.
From the house during COVID.
During the pandemic, he did his weather forecast from his house. He's got all that stuff at home already. So, anyway, he's going to be here, and I'm sure, it's, as you say, it's going to be a very.
It's going to be one of the memorable shows here on Sunday.
I may actually pay attention for the full show that day. Usually, I not offer on 10:30. To be honest,
well, I've noticed you then picking you up off the floor when I'm in the middle of my newscast.
I have taken naps during interviews. Sometimes when the actors aren't so interesting, I'll catch 40 winks.
Just fall asleep, and when they get done with the answer, you just,
When I hear silence, I wake up and pretend like I was listening. They're doing the whole time. Anyway, so we're going to look forward to that. Are you a fan of Curb Your Enthusiasm at all?
Yes, I am. It's the final season coming.
Final season starts today.
It's today?
It's starting streaming today. Larry David has decided, talk about somebody, well, Larry David's not retiring, but he's calling it quits on this irreverent,
to say the least,
not for everyone,
no,
kind of show. Some people hate this show,
yeah,
because he is a very, very despicable character on the show, but it's hilariously funny.
I take it Jeff Garland is going to be going with him through to the end, or
It looks like Jeff Garland's on the show. Mm-hmm. All the regulars seem to be in the promos. I don't know anything. You know, I haven't seen any previews, anything. Larry David is kind of famous for not showing his hand when a new season comes out, not even to Jeff Garland. You know, I know Jeff pretty well. And, you know, I've asked him year after year after year, what can you tell us about the new season? He says Larry doesn't tell anybody anything until we actually film the show. And then it's out there, and then he doesn't want anyone to talk about it. So I'm going to look forward to it as much as everyone else. Because of the Grammys tonight, I won't be watching it tonight, but I will record it, and sort of can't wait for the whole thing. So I'm going to look forward to that. I looked to see if there were any clips that I could play from Curb Your Enthusiasm. You know,
there's two reasons you should watch it there.
The language gets a little salty in some cases. But I did find a clip which I think is in many ways very quintessentially Curb. It's Larry David. It is Shelley Berman, the old school comedian Shelley Berman, who played Larry's dad on the show. And they are, Larry is wearing a Seinfeld jacket. You know, he was one of the producers of the TV show Seinfeld. He's wearing a Seinfeld jacket. And Shelley Berman, his dad on the show, wants to know why he's wearing the Seinfeld jacket. And he explains it's because he's trying to get out of jury duty. I would be remiss if I didn't remind you, Valentine's Day is right around the corner as well. It's one of the busiest eating out days of the year. It's also one of the busiest eating out days, which makes it one of the worst eating out days of the year, in my opinion. I think that generally the food is not very good. The service is not very good. It's generally more expensive. You would be much better off doing something special for Valentine's Day at home. But if you are going to go out, if you wanted to, you know, do something, if you're not making reservations right now, you're going to get shut out. And you're going to wind up at, I don't know, like White Castles or something, which would not be a terrible idea. Didn't they used to do something special at White Castles, now that I think of it, for Valentine's Day? That they would do like some kind of special promotion. And really, what says I love you more for your special person in your life than a sack of sliders and some onion rings? Honestly, I don't think there's very much. Anyway, I just wanted to remind you that Valentine's Day is around the corner. And if you are going to go out to eat, now is the time to make your reservations before they get completely sold out, if they are not already. But let's talk Super Bowl here first, because I know, you know, it's one of the busiest eating days of the year. Avocado consumption is at its highest on Super Bowl Sunday. Pizza is the number one food which is served at Super Bowl parties all over America. So we wanted to come up with some other ideas for that. And for that, we turn to Chef Michael Bonner, who is with CMB Catering Company. Launched the company himself not too long ago. For years, Michael was with the Let Us Entertain You Group and spent 13 years at Maggiano's as their vice president of culinary operations. And I was honored to be at a charity event where Michael was doing the food for the event. It was a special evening, which I joined Paul Conrad for an event to raise money for programs that help people living with autism. And the food that was served was by Chef Michael Bonner, and it was absolutely delicious. Michael, as I told you, welcome to the show. Nice to have you on with us here. And I tried to weasel this recipe out of him for this amazing butternut squash that he had out, and would not give me the recipe for this. So this is going to be my goal in life now, from now on, Michael, to get that recipe out of you for that amazing sauce that you served. Welcome to the show. Don't make me spend the next half hour trying to get this recipe out of you.
In fact, Dean, thank you very much for having me on the show. It was a pleasure. But I'm willing to share that recipe with you. It really is more technique than it is ingredients. And it's just one of those things where it's easier to show you than to tell you. So
explain it. All right. Well, we'll do it on one of my TV cooking segments, sometime soon. We'll do it on TV so we can share it with everybody. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much. It's a nice day here in Chicago and getting ready for a Super Bowl next week. I'm a huge NFL fan, so I'm really looking forward to it. And so I'm doing great.
Yeah, how is it going for you? For how long has CMB Catering been up and running now?
Well, you know, it's an idea that I incubated during COVID. So we have been operating for about 2 years, but officially as its own entity since November. And it's been really good. It's, during the month of December, we catch some steam, and now we're doing all the work necessary to be a part of the wedding season that's happening here in the next few months.
Right. Well, I was wondering, you know, how you can't be happier for anybody when they launch their own adventure like this. But, you know, after being part of Let Us Entertain You for such a long time, you know, that's like, it's kind of a machine that, you know, just operates and operates and operates. And you take the very adventurous step during the pandemic, I might add, to start your own thing. I'm glad that, you know, things seem to be up and running and moving and, you know, establishing and growing. That's all pretty great because you're a pretty great chef.
Well, thanks, Dean. Those are nice words. But you said it. I mean, Let Us is a company with incredible people. I mean, Rich himself is a mentor to me personally, and he's been very, very supportive of what I'm doing now. So I'm blessed to be in the same network of, you know, business with the good folks at Let Us Entertain You. So
yeah, that's great.
That's a good thing.
Talking about the great and legendary Rich Melman, of course.
Yeah.
So here we are. Super Bowl Sunday is a week away. And, people can, you know, go to the store and buy, you know, things that are already pre-made. But, you know, it's so much better when it's homemade. And it doesn't have to be difficult, does it?
No, not at all. Just a little thought. You know, you can't think of a better matchup city-wise. I mean, if you're looking at, depending on if you're on San Francisco side or Kansas City, both of those towns are great food cities, right? You know, Kansas City's known for its barbecue and, you know, cheese slippers, one of my favorite things. And I meant to say Kansas City, but San Fran is known for the great neighborhoods. They've got Chinatown, North Beach.
Right.
One of the great sandwiches that I've, my all-time favorite in life is from a place called Palm City that has the Italian-American hoagie, which is absolutely great. And on my dinner table that weekend, I'm going to be serving a version of that, which is, you know, loaded with, you know, Italian cold cuts or shaved onions and nuja, which is this pepperoni spread that I put on there. It's just absolutely phenomenal. So I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm going to be representing both cities in my menu. So
okay, so I want to get back to this. What did you just say? A slipper? Something slipper?
Yeah, cheese slipper. Haven't heard of this?
Okay, we'll get back to the cheese slipper in a second. But first, walk me through this Italian hoagie that you're talking about here, because that sounds amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing.
I don't know. I don't know if I can wait till. I don't know if I can wait till Super Bowl Sunday for that. I may have to get that right after the show today.
You should. It's so delicious. So basically, this sandwich is made with like sesame crusted, like crispy, crunchy hoagie bread, or like a baguette, right?
All right.
And it's toasted.
Right.
A slice mortadella, sopressata. It's like layered up with provolone cheese, thinly sliced onion, and then this nougat, which is, like I mentioned, it's a spread made out of, like, you know, pulverized pepperonis that has, like, this really delicious background of meat taste. And so, it's so delicious.
So if I put pepperoni, if I put some pepperoni in a food processor, could I make it, or is it a little more complex than that?
No, I mean, basically, you would need to pulverize the pepperoni first. And what I do is I take a little bit of mayonnaise at the end to kind of smooth it out.
Oh.
And that is good on its own if you've got some, you know, crusty bread, if you want to make a dip out of that. But it's incredible in this sandwich. It's really delicious.
So if I got me some pepperoni, if I got some, well, do I put like olive oil or something in the pepperoni while I'm processing?
Yeah, you're right. You need a little olive oil to get things going in the food processor. Puree it till it becomes like a paste.
Yeah.
All right. Pull that out. And if you want to make it a little bit spicy, you can add like some cayenne pepper to it to really spice it up a little bit.
Crushed red pepper, maybe something like that. Yeah, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that'll give you that nice, you know, zesty tang. And I drop a little bit of red wine vinegar in there too, just to kind of, you know, blend the flavors together.
Right.
And then I thin it out with a little bit of mayonnaise. And it's absolutely phenomenal.
And that's the
it's
spread.
A great condiment.
That's the spread that would go on the baguette, or when you talked about the sandwich, I was in my mind, I'm picturing like a nice sourdough bread, you know, maybe something like that. But really, any kind of nice crusty bread would be fantastic. You put this spread that you've just made that sounds super simple to make with some good quality. Of the Italian cold cuts that are out there, and cheeses, you know, whatever it is that you like. Oh my gosh, that would be a fantastic, you know, you make a giant version of that, you know, I don't know, 2-3 feet, something like that. If you can find bread big enough or just several baguettes, cut it into bite-sized pieces, put it out on your Super Bowl table, right?
Yeah, it's amazing. But it really is amazing. This, talking to you about it right now, and I spent some time in my early years in San Francisco, and this is the place that I would go to so regularly because they had such great, you know, hoagies there. But this one in particular is amazing. Just hear you talk to the ingredients, you know, the cold cuts and this new just spread is just absolutely great.
Wow, that sounds amazing. I'm definitely going to try that. Michael, I don't know if you heard right before I brought you on the show, I was, you know, talking about taking your Valentine to White Castles for
I heard that.
Yeah. And you know what? After I said it as a joke, but after it came out of my mouth, I thought, wait a minute. I think White Castles does do a special promotion. I checked during the break. They do. You have to make reservations for White Castle's Valentine's Day reservations. If you go on their website, whitecastles.com, you can make reservations. They put out a white tablecloth, and they do a whole big deal for Valentine's Day.
Didn't know that. That's news to me. I got a chuckle out of it, but I think there's a lot of nostalgia in a slider like that, so I can totally understand it.
Yeah, and, you know, it's hard to get into a lot of restaurants on Valentine's Day, and frankly, some people would prefer having a slider over, you know, something, you know, fancy schmancy that's overpriced for Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Okay, so you had mentioned a pink slipper, I believe is what you called it. I presume
cheese
that's
slipper.
Some, I'm sorry, cheese slipper?
Yes, cheese slipper.
Cheese slipper, that I presume is some sort of Kansas City staple?
Absolutely. It's like one of the things that the city's known for. It's a nice little cheesy bread snack that's loaded with a ton of flavor. Aged white cheddar mixed with cheese curds. So you got cheese on top of cheese. You got texture with the curds and flavor from the aged cheddar. Now, you can put that on the toast itself, or you can use it as a dip, but it's really, really delicious. If you're a fan of cheese, this is something that you should have out next Sunday, enjoying it, you know, as a representation from the city of Kansas City.
Kansas City, yeah. So is this something that I could do, like, with a puffed pastry? Am I along the right lines with that, like a cheese-filled puffed pastry? Or how would you direct me in this regard?
Okay. If I was going to use it in a puff pastry, I would take the puff pastry, lay it out, brush it, and indent it so that you've got a little bit of like a little landing area for the curd and the aged cheddar.
Okay.
Put that in the oven at about 375 for 12 minutes, and it should be just amazing.
That simple then. You said if I was going to use a puff pastry, would you prefer some other vessel for this?
Yeah, I'm just a fan of, like, just crispy, rustic bread. Okay. I think this is what, you know, that works best for me. I think that the texture of the cheese and that crunch is the right combination of texture and flavor. Yeah.
Okay. So you start with the bread, or I guess you can make your own dough, right? Make your own bread dough for something like that. But that's where it starts to get, who has time for that on Super Bowl Sunday, really?
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, I was mulling this over, and, you know, one of the biggest things for me is just I want to be a part of the party.
Yeah.
You know, I want to choose items that are easy that I could do ahead of time, and, you know, you can just kind of graze throughout the game. And, you can make your own bread, and it's a nice touch. But, you know, I feel like you'll spend a lot of your time in the kitchen while the game is going.
Right. Yeah, that's a lot of work. You know, a lot of people I know are going to be doing Kansas City barbecue. That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And if you're going to do it on a smoker or on the grill or, you know, something like that. I've done barbecue in my slow cooker. And, you know, you set it 8 hours ahead of time. It's not my favorite way to do barbecue, but it's pretty delicious. And now it's in a slow cooker, and you just put it out on the table and call it a day.
Yeah, I mean, that's the absolute best way to enjoy the game with great food. Something that you can cook and enjoy while watching the game. I'm not prejudiced against using a slow cooker for barbecue. You take a nice meat that, you know, tenders up over a period of time, like brisket or even short rib for that matter, bean, and you throw some good barbecue sauce on that with some slider buns on the side, that's a great meal.
Yeah.
And it's a great time.
What else? What are some other good suggestions?
Well, you know, I like, you know, I'm keeping, my theme is like, you know, I want to represent both cities. You know, we didn't talk about drink, but, you know, San Francisco, you know, is like the home of microbrews. Ankerstein, you got to have something for your guests to drink. And I think Ankerstein, where the microbrews out of San Francisco are great. I think that, you know, another thing that's easy to do that's representing San Francisco with using sourdough bread as a vessel. You know, they're known for that soup that's in the bowl.
Mm.
But think of this, you know, you could do that with chili, or you could do that with something that's like real savory in that bowl. And it's real fun to pull and tear and eat that along while watching the game.
Yeah, that's a fantastic suggestion. I had mentioned that pizza is the number one food apparently that's served on Super Bowl Sunday. On my cooking segment this coming Wednesday, I'm going to be doing wonton cups of pizza, as like kind of a different way of doing. You know, you can order a pizza. I mean, there's no trick to a conventional pizza, but just to do something a little different that's on your table. Do you have any pizza ideas?
Well, speaking along easy and like fun, my girlfriend Jean created this pizza made with tortilla, and what she does is she takes the tortilla and crisp it up on both sides. Sprinkle the sauce, cheese, and meat, and put that in the oven. You got this really, really crunchy crust with great toppings on top. And that's super fun and easy to do.
That's a great idea, like, and sort of is like the ultimate thin crust pizza, right?
Right, exactly.
I love it. I think she does a really good job with that.
Yeah, yeah, very nice. Give me a couple of more suggestions of things that we might want to do for Super Bowl Sunday spreads.
I think that, you know, I always think that, you know, having vegetables out are fun too. You know, I think vegetables don't get the credit that we should. I think a vegetable crudité is nice, and you can create some real fun dips. You mentioned avocado spreads and things like that, where it's like the highest consumption of that. Dips like that are really good. Instead of using chips, you can use vegetables for that as something fun and fills up the table. I think seafood too is also a nice, you know, item to have, you know, either shrimp, or you can make, like I mentioned, the chowder earlier. Those are fun. And chili, it's things that you can make in big batches, Dean, and you can get them done ahead of time and
right.
keep warm, you know, are always nice to do if people can kind of go up and serve themselves
right.
throughout the game.
Yeah, and as you say, you get to enjoy the game and the party then at the same time. A couple of weeks ago on my TV cooking segment, I made a kind of, I guess you would call it a charcuterie board, you know, which is so popular now. But instead of an actual board, I put the meats, the olives, the cheeses, all the things that you would put on a charcuterie board. I put on a giant piece of focaccia bread. I cut the focaccia, put the stuff on top of it so you could take a little prosciutto, some olives, some cheese, whatever, and a piece of the focaccia at the same time. And
what a great idea.
Yeah, it's a really different sort of way of serving, you know, something like that that you could just put out on the table and let people serve themselves and enjoy.
Yeah, it's beautiful, too. I mean, you've got a really nice piece of focaccia spread out nicely with the cold cuts. I can see that. That sounds great.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Hey, if people
might steal that one for me.
Yeah, please help yourself and help yourself. When people want to get information about using CMB Catering Company for their next event, Michael, what's the best way to do all that?
Go to our website. That's at cmbcater.com, and we have information about our services as well as the style of food that we are able to provide. And it gives a lot more detail about our services and my background. So, cmbcater.com.
Good deal. C like Charlie, M like Mary, B like boy, cater.com. Chef Michael Bonner, appreciate you joining us and look forward to seeing you soon, pal. Thank you so much.